If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Rob Saul with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that question is a lot, and my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. I'm very excited about the phone calls, emails, and handwritten notes I've received since the article about the show came out in the Buffalo News last Tuesday. Now, my guest today is Pam Krawczyk, Commissioner of Erie County Senior Services. Welcome, Pam.
Good afternoon, Dr. Saul. Thank you for inviting me to be here today.
Now, you gave me your CV, and I want to go through a few things so people know a little bit about you. You graduated Juniorville College, and I won't mention the year. You have a Bachelor's of Science in Biology, and then went on to get your Master's of Science in Gerontology and Management at Juniorville as well.
That's correct.
That's correct. Now, you've had extensive experience involved in the senior services area. You've been Commissioner of Senior Services since February of 2000. Now, how did you get involved with that?
Well, actually, I just sent in my resume. I was looking to make a career change. I had been working for the Salvation Army Golden Aid Center for about 11 years. My focus has always been working with older adults, and especially those that are still in the community, those that are still healthy and active, and those who want to still contribute to the community.
Well, I think your job is crucial, and there's resources that you help provide that are there for people to take advantage of, and that's what we hope to emphasize in this show, the wide range of things out there that can help older people and the people that care about them, caregivers and others, even health professionals, to help their patients lead a happier and healthy life. The theme we're calling it, what are the major issues confronting older adults today, with a focus on our community, Western New York, and we hope to leave you with three take-home messages. Older people can get sick. Number two, there is always something that can be done to help, and help is available. And three, it's better to seek help sooner than later. Now, if we have any phone calls, we could take that now.
Hello. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, this is Dr. Stahl. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just trying to find out, do you have a private practice?
Well, since I started the show, and over the years, actually, people have asked me about that, and I have a very limited private practice, and that's one of the problems with doing geriatric care, in that there aren't enough people who specialize in geriatrics, really, to meet the needs of all the older adults out there that might benefit. Now, my basic philosophy is that geriatrics as a specialty should gradually disappear as internists and family practitioners learn about all the different issues involved in geriatric care. Unfortunately, the medical school curricula are not quite up to speed in that respect. As far as my private practice, I have a very limited ability to take new patients. I do refer to other doctors that have qualifications, additional qualifications in geriatrics if I'm not able to accept people. But I'm also very interested in having patients, in a way, help themselves. And I mentioned that at the beginning of the show a self-assessment booklet. And this is something I send out to my patients before I see them. And I'd like that to make that available to all listeners out there. I'd be happy to send a copy of that. You can fill out the self-assessment. It goes through different general issues, a full symptom checklist. You put down all of your medications, including herbal remedies and over-the-counter remedies, a variety of other questionnaires that you can fill out and bring to your doctor. And I think that would give your doctor a better starting point to be able to help you.
Now, what a thoughtful idea. I'm very interested.
Well, why don't you, I don't know, Jimmy, can you take an address and we can get that to this young lady? Okay, and why don't you give Jimmy, our engineer, your address, and I'll get that right out to you, okay?
Thank you very much, Dr. Stahl.
You're welcome. I don't know what you think, Pam, about how to address the needs of all the older people out there that do need help. I think doctors want to do a good job with their patients, but time is the main issue.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think there's such a limited time for individuals. I think your point being that people need to be empowered when they go in, or caregivers, to really ask the questions, the right questions. Think about things before you're going to your doctor and address the primary concerns that you have.
We have another call. Be happy to take it.
Yes, I would like to know what your solution is for insomnia
being caused by a too active mind. If you wake up at, say, 4 a.m., what can I do to sort of disconnect my mind from functioning and thinking? It's not necessarily worry, just thinking and planning.
Tell me more about your active mind. I think that's wonderful
to begin with. During the day it's wonderful, but at 4 a.m. it is not. So what sort of exercise could I do, or what could I do to put my mind into an inactive mode?
Well, what's been your usual sleeping pattern throughout your life, and when did it change?
Yes, well, it's been going on for quite a long time now. I go to sleep around between 11 and 11:30, and then wake up around 3:30, and then I toss and turn, and I can't go back to sleep. And so I've been getting up and doing some reading. So I would like to avoid getting up in the middle of the night to do some reading.
Well, how do you function during the day?
I function fine, and I almost never take a nap. I have read all the articles in the papers about do's and don'ts.
Okay.
And I still have the same problem.
Are you taking medications? I don't want to get into your personal medication
history.
But
No, that's fine. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just taking vitamins, and I'm taking calcium and Fosamax, and I'm not taking anything that could possibly cause anything, because I just don't take anything else.
Well, let me ask Pam. I know it's somewhat of a medical question, but how would you handle it if someone called you about that?
Well, I guess I'm wondering, too, about physical activity. I mean, if the body, are you doing any type of activity during the day physically?
Yes, I am, every morning from 7 to 8. On lifestyle aerobic exercises. And if I don't do that, I walk around the park. So I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. And I never have a drop of caffeine nor chocolate.
I would say that it's probably, I'm curious as to, you said talk about planning. I'm not sure if you could do certain things before you go to sleep to write down on a notepad of things that you might be planning. But I would think that something where you could focus your mind on things that would relax you, a pleasant location.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it's sort of a mind over matter.
Now, how about trying some exercise at night as well?
I haven't done that. I'm just too tired usually to do that. So what do you mean by night? I mean, if I go to bed at 11, what time would you suggest I
do? Well, no, before you go to bed, just gentle exercise, relaxation, stretching. What kind of exercise do you do in the morning, did you say?
Aerobic.
Uh-huh.
Low impact aerobics, and with a television program. I have no trouble. Usually I don't have any trouble going to sleep first, but and I know a great many of my friends have the same problem, so that's one of the reasons I called it.
Right.
It's not a unique problem.
Yeah, sleep is a difficult and complicated problem. Some things that might help, and that we've tried in a nursing home setting, is different kinds of sounds that you might play by the bedside that might be relaxing sounds, like water flowing on a stream, or thunderstorms sometimes, birds in a field, just some background music to break the silence and the usual house noises. That might be something to help.
Well, thank you very much, and it just so happens that my doorbell just rang.
Okay.
I wish you best of luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, let's take it. Hello, you're on the air.
The person that was just on, I've had trouble with that same thing where, you know, it's just the mind racing all over the place, and two things that have helped me. One, I started doing crossword puzzles because that's, when you focus on the crossword puzzle, it totally gets your mind off of everything else, and I really got to be good at them and enjoy them and everything, so that's one thing. And then, you know, you tire yourself out and go to sleep. But the other thing is I have a radio next to the bed that I actually leave on 24/7, and it has headphones hooked to it, and so if I'm having trouble falling asleep or I wake up and can't go back to sleep, I put the headphones on, and I choose to listen to the Catholic radio station just because there's never anything on there to upset me too much. I always enjoy whatever's on there. And
finding alternatives to medications, like these simple, we call them behavioral approaches,
mm-hmm.
To a problem, is certainly much preferred. And looking into these alternative creative approaches, I think is the way to go. Pam, do you have any comments further on that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's trying to focus your mind on something else, because I think I do the same thing. If there's things that I'm worried about the next day, my mind starts racing. I can't fall back asleep either. And I think that it's important to find good alternative means. I do the same thing. I listen to the radio, usually a talk radio, because it tends to lull me back and focuses my attention.
Yeah, could I just talk about something else, though? Because I really kind of, my parents isn't completely in need of her life being taken over yet, but there are signs that have made us concerned. And I don't know how much input you personally get from family members or if you encourage it, but we're very fortunate that our mom started with a new doctor, and he's being very welcoming to our giving input on observations,
right,
and stuff, so that it can help him better address where she's going, you know.
Well, like, we do have resources for caregivers, and maybe Pam can talk about that. There's the Erie Caregivers Network. And there's also the Niagara County Caregivers Network. And maybe you want to say a few words about that. These are wonderful organizations that are doing great things, including the training programs to help caregivers deal with the things they're dealing with.
Yeah, we're doing powerful tools for caregiving, and there's a special series of classes. It may not be something that you need at this point, but down the road we'll be continuing those classes. But we have our Caregiver Resource Center, and I think what's really important is that the federal government even realized how important it was to support the informal caregivers. You know, we will help guide you through what can be relatively confusing, and we know it's very stressful. So we'll hope to lighten your burden a little bit at times.
Well, thanks for your call. I hope that helped. Hello, it's Dr. Stahl.
Hi, I guess it's supposed to be me.
I guess it's you.
I have quite a few problems.
Well, let's take one, okay? And so we could get other people asking their questions, too. Take the number one thing that's affecting you right now. That's what I do with my patients. I try and pin them down to the number one thing that's causing their problems at the moment.
I have bad veins in my ankle, and I have pain in my ankle and my foot. And there's a little edema, and I want to know if there's I do take liquid Tylenol once in a while.
Okay.
But is there anything stronger than that I could take that wouldn't have any bad effects, like ibuprofen or anything? I've never taken that.
Okay, and you do have some swelling. One simple thing that you may be doing is to use compression stockings to try and help move the blood back out of your legs, back into your system. What happens as people get older, their veins don't work as well as they used to.
Right.
And the veins, the valves in the veins, don't keep the blood up where it should be, and it tends to sink down into the legs and feet. The other thing, pain in your feet really needs to be looked into closely. Has your doctor said anything specific as to what it might be? Or
He did mention the stockings, like you said.
Okay.
And he said to ask the doctor about some kind of medication, too.
This might take a little more in-depth talking to you about it. So why don't I let Jimmy take your number, and I'll get back to you about it. I'd like to run a few pre-recorded segments now.
A patient once came to me who was about to turn 100 years old. She had pain in her right knee. I asked her what she thought was wrong. "What do you expect at my age?" she demanded. "How is your left knee?" "Just fine, thank you," she replied. "Then why doesn't your left knee hurt? Isn't it the same age as your right?" Her face brightened and understood what I meant. Think about it often. I do. It reminds me there is always something that could be done to help, even in extreme old age.
Now I'd like you to hear from Dr. Saul Elkin, who's the founder of Shakespeare in the Park, a respected local actor, and he did two readings for me about getting older.
Now, I have a few surprises that you can or don't have to read if you don't want to.
Right.
Let's start with this one, and it's entitled The Golden Years. And it's anonymous. We don't know who wrote it.
The golden years have come at last. I cannot see, I cannot pee, I cannot chew, can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex, sure can't have sex. My memory shrinks, my hearing stinks. No sense of smell, I look like hell. My body's drooping, got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years, ooh, what a blast.
And that's great. A heck of a lot better than I could have done, I'll tell you that. Well, that's for all time. And that'll go on the show, and on the web, and who knows, that might be your ticket to world fame, if you're not world famous already.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, Pam, what did you think about the things Dr. Elkin read for us? And
well, it's good to laugh. I mean, that's one of the successes of aging, is that you can laugh at yourself at times. But it doesn't have to be that way. I think it's some of the stereotypical things that people normally think of people who are over the age of 65. When I was with the Salvation Army, I used to coordinate the Senior Olympics. And I would see people in their 90s doing a race walk and competing. And I'd find some of the people that I worked with and who were helping me with the Olympics, who were in their 20s, were complaining more about the aches and pains and not being able to keep up with the older adults. So I think it's age is pretty much a state of mind. For seniors, I really try to say, just be a little more active rather than being the couch potato.
Why don't we take some calls if we have them? Hello, it's Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Dr. Stahl. My name is Carol Gerritsen.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I read with interest the article in the paper a couple of weeks ago on you.
Well, we're just trying to get the word out. That's what this is all about. Instead of it going into my filing cabinet in my office, and trying to get some good information out there to as many people as possible, because there's only one of me, and I think there's a whole lot of people in need.
May I ask your opinion on drugs from Canada?
Drugs from Canada. I should have known that was going to be a question, and certainly the whole medication issue and the cost.
Of,
well, I think the main issue is ensuring that it's the same quality. So I think the drug companies have to take notice and explain why there are these great disparities in drug costs. So
absolutely, no one in the world pays what we pay here in the
right.
United States.
Well, thanks for your call, and we will be talking about that, because if people can't afford the medications, they're not going to be taking them
that's
the way
right.
they should. Well, thanks for your call.
You're more than welcome. Have a good day.
Me too. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, and I thank my guest, Pam Krawczyk, a tremendous amount, and all the wonderful people at Erie County Senior Services and the other senior service agencies in Western New York for all the great work they do. Thank you, Pam.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stahl. I'd like to thank WHLD also for having the vision to put this program together.
This is Dr. Rob Stahl. I'll see you next week.
Will we still be